Ta-da! Them. Ava. Indeed. Te. Unto you. Param. Transcendental. Jnanam. Knowledge. Didami. I would have delivered. Graham. To your home. Agataha. Came. Gatva. Knowing. Anya abhinivesham. Absorption in something else. In material things. Te. Your. Putram. The son. Eva. Only. Dadami. Gave. Aham. I. When I first came to your home, I could have given you the supreme transcendental knowledge, but when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son who caused you jubilation and lamentation. You can repeat. When I first came to your home, I could have given you the supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son who caused you jubilation and lamentation. So there's no purport to this text, so I'm going to read the next three texts, which are all in one, and their translation and Srila Prabhupada's purport. So text 21 to 23. Aduna putrinam dapo Abhavattaiva nubhuyate evam daragraha raiho nividdaishvarya sampataha shabdadayascha vishayash chalarajjali bhutayaha mahirajam balham kasho kosho prichamatya suvidjanaha Savepi surase ne me shokamoha bayartitaha tittaha Gandharva nagara prakyaha swapnamaya manohurataha. So translation, my dear king, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Surasena, one's wife, his house, the opulence of his kingdom, and his various other opulences and objects of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends, and relatives are all causes of fear, illusion, lamentation, and distress. They are like a Gandharva Nagara, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusions, dreams, and mental concoctions. Heavy preaching here. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This verse describes the entanglement of material existence. In material existence, the living entity possesses many things. The material body, children, wife, and so on, deha patra kalatra adishu. One may think that these will give him protection, but that is impossible. In spite of all these possessions, the spirit soul has to give up his present situation and accept another. The next situation may be unfavorable, but even if it is favorable, one must give it up and again accept another body. In this way, one's tribulation of material existence continues. A sane man should be perfectly aware that these things will never be able to give him happiness. One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Angadi Rishi and Narada Muni gave this instruction to Maharaj Chitraketu. So, Om Ganat Samadanda Shah Gananjana Shilapya Chakshur Minitam Yenatasmai Sri Ganaveda Maha. So there's an interesting verse in the Bhagavad Gita that explains why Angira didn't give Chitraketu spiritual instructions before. And this verse goes as follows: Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanantaya Pritachetasam Vyavasayatmika Bhutir Samado Navatiyate. Looking it up? Yeah. It's a little too much to look up verses. So when it says Bhogaishvarya, one whose mind is attached to opulent life and sense gratification, Aishvarya means like opulence, and Boga means sense gratification. Prasaktanam, he's very attached. Not just attached, but extremely attached, like King Chitraketu. Taya Pritchachetasam. And then his mind can't remain fixed on Krishna. Vyavasayatmika Bhutir, that one pointed determination, which Krishna recommends earlier in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, Vyavasayatmika Bhutir Ekeha Kurunandana, Bhoshatas Tunantascha, that this one pointed determination or to be Krishna conscious is not going to happen. Bhogaishvarya Prasaktanam Taya Pritchachetasam. He won't be able to be absorbed in Krishna. So therefore it's better not to disturb someone's mind at that particular point. Of course, we encourage them in devotion, but we don't disturb their mind with preaching about renunciation. So this, you know, this is pretty heavy preaching about renunciation. And what's being spoken here is very similar to Srila Prabhupada's realizations in his poem, Vrindavan Bhajan. And I was going to read it, but if I read it on my phone can't record it. But anyway, I have noted down a few little points from it. Like Prabhupada said, I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan, and I have my son's wife, sons and wife and everything like that, but they're fruitless glory. He says they're a fruitless glory because I have no money. Now that's really, don't worry, I'm not going to end this class like with extreme sannyas thing. There's going to be a happy medium when I reach a conclusion. All right, so don't run out of class right now. So, but he says they're a fruitless glory because I have no money. He says everyone has abandoned me, and all they are is a list of names right now. So these are some of the statements Prabhupada made. I noted that down, but I wanted to read it, but it's not. I can't do that right now. So anyway, so it's a very interesting statement of Prabhupada that exhibits extreme renunciation. But let's examine renunciation, because renunciation, if it's based on negation, is actually not real renunciation. It's just like the opposite side of the same coin. And Prabhupada had real renunciation, and I'll explain why he had that real renunciation. Prabhupada said, Krishna actually says, attraction and repulsion for sense objects are felt by conditioned souls. So if we're repulsed, let's say if you're repulsed by your family or whatever because, you have to spend money on them. That's called renunciation in the mode of passion. Krishna describes different renunciation in different modes. And the mode of passion, one gives up things just because it's too difficult. And because it's a pain in the neck, so to speak, or pain in other places. So the renunciation of a devotee is not exactly like that, or it's not at all like that. It's not based on negation. It's based on something else. So let's tell a story from the Jiva Dharma concerning renunciation and a devotee's desire for renunciation, and how his renunciation manifested a little differently than he had intended. So this is a story of this devotee named Brajanath. Brajanath was, of course, a very expert in logic, Nayika, and logic and reasoning and all that other stuff in the Vedic literature. Eventually he became a great devotee, and he became disinterested in the whole material world. So much so that when his mother, grandmother, and whatever relative tried to convince him to get married. He just didn't want to hear it. He told him, if you talk like that, I'm out of here. Basically, he was very, very detached. In fact, one time they enlisted the help of one of his cousins. His name was Devidas. He was quite an ogre of a person. You know, he was quite ugly. His face looked like basically someone you'd run away from if you saw him in a dark alley. Anyway, his face was in the mode of ignorance. It's like you see in the bars or shopping at Walmart. Oh, you have that there. Thank you, so I can read it in a few minutes. So that's the advantage of electronic technology. So they enlisted the help of Devidas, and Devidas had a whole plan how to convince or to get Brajanath out of the clutches of the Vaishnavas. Because he was blaming the Vaishnavas, particularly the Vaishnavas in Mayapur, for Brajanath's extreme renunciation. So he thought, you know, actually if you want to conquer someone, one of the best strategies is divide and conquer. It's called Veda. Even Hiranyakashipu and his associates advocate that. It's one of the things that was being taught to Prahlad Maharaj in the Asura Kula. So what he did, this Devidas, he went to the Babaji, who was giving Brajanath Association, and he told the Babaji some negative things about Brajanath. He said, Brajanath just coming here to find fault in you, just watch out for him. But the Babaji actually was able to understand through the face and the different manifestations that this guy is really demoniac. So he understood this guy is really demoniac. So he didn't take him seriously. And so then this Devidas went back to Brajanath and said that, you know, I talked to the Babaji and, you know, he just doesn't respect you at all, you know, whatever. And they were trying to get a conflict. So eventually Brajanath goes to the Babaji and the Babaji says, Brajanath says that, you know, did you see this person? And the Babaji says, yeah, I saw him. He's a pretty demoniac guy. Yeah, I'm paraphrasing the whole thing. And he's just trying to create trouble between us. So, because he was trying to convince Brajanath to get married by dividing and conquering or destroying Brajanath's faith in the Babaji or the Babaji's faith in Brajanath. So Brajanath goes back and says to his mother and grandmother, said, I don't want to see Devidas again. And this Devidas, he was so angry with this whole scenario because he was discovered, caught, you know, red-handed, so to speak, that he planned to beat up Brajanath. It's interesting. So he gathered some of his friends and he said, next time he goes to Mayapur, you know, we should hide in the woods and just attack him and just like pummel him. And so Brajanath caught wind of that, and he had someone who rented a house from him, or rented, you know, one of his tenants, who was actually like a big wrestler or a person like that, you know, strong. And he said, don't worry, I'll protect you. And eventually, within a few days after that, this Devidas died. I think it was a snake bite or something like that. A snake bite. He died from a snake bite. And then, because Brajanath didn't think Haribol, Jai, Gauranga, anything like that. He just said, well, I pray for his benefit, you know, his merciful Vaishnava. So, all right, so then he was very determined. Let me continue with the story. Very determined not to get married. But then eventually his uncle, Vijay Kumar, joins him. And they go to the Babaji together, and they get spiritual instruction together and everything like that. And the uncle is actually a great devotee, and he's inclined towards renunciation too. And they ask the Babaji about, you know, can one only become Krishna conscious in the renounced order of life? And the Babaji says, no. And most of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees were in the Grihastha ashram. And they were very, very dear. You know, the Babaji explained to them, neither one of the two paths. Of course, you can't have both. He doesn't say, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, but he says, you know, can't be like how did Prabhupada phrase it? He said, is a single daddy. Prabhupada said it better be brahmachari, but if you're going to be a single daddy, then you should get married. Because nowadays we have so many single daddies. Marriage has gone out of vogue. Even in the Krishna conscious movement, people just live with each other and they think, you know, Hare Krishna. It's just a piece of paper. But actually it's more than a piece of paper. It's a commitment. You know, commitments are very important. Just like initiation is a commitment. People say, well, I don't have to take initiation. Well, you do need to take initiation because it's a commitment. It's a formal commitment. That's the essence of initiation is the commitment. The essence of marriage is the commitment. And people in Kali Yuga need to see it written down. You can't just have Gandharva marriages in Kali Yuga because there has to be some sort of external, let's say, force, or not precisely force, but regulation to their situation. So anyway, so to make a long story so short, they have this discussion with the Babaji, then Vrajanath goes back with his uncle and he discusses, what do you think, should I get married? The uncle mulls it over and eventually they recommend that Vrajanath gets married. You know, even though he's on such a high exalted platform of devotional service. And they find a nice Brahmin wife for him, and they have the marriage. Of course, it's described that Vijay Kumar is not so much, because he's more renounced, he's not so much into the marriage. So with the purpose of the marriage is to keep people steady, because we have to understand at different stages of life, what do they say, different strokes for different folks. Or in Krishna consciousness, we say different shlokas for different folks. So at different stages of life, there's different things that are applicable for people to keep them stable and steady in Krishna consciousness. You know, what do they say? There's a time and place for everything. So therefore, he gets married. Vijay Kumar, being the uncle, actually makes sure everything happens, but he's not really that much into it. And then the interesting thing is, right after they get married, there's no divorce. Not divorce. But they all had the Jagannath Puri. I thought that this was quite interesting. Because, you know, he's a faithful householder. He hasn't renounced his wife or anything like that. But they all go, they hear about, who is that devotee in Jagannath Puri? I forget his name right now. That's Kali Yuga memory. Anyway, they hear about this great devotee associate, grand disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a disciple of Keshava Pandit, actually. And they go there and they take spiritual instruction in the higher relationships with Krishna, which I found quite interesting. So it's not that one should immediately upon getting married, you know, run to Jagannath Puri and associate with the Babajis. But the whole point is that one can be in any order of life and actually be attached to Krishna. Because the point I'm making is that it's not a negation of material or external relationships, but it's something that one is just having a higher taste or a higher pleasure. Or to put it in the nomenclature of bhava, one of the symptoms of bhava, is not wasting any time. In other words, one, as we mentioned yesterday in going over the some of the angas of bhakti, that one should not accept any more than necessary, or accept any less than necessary in order to keep the body, soul, psychology, and other aspects of one's constitution in order. So there's a balance. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita talks about this balance, how you have material needs and spiritual needs. And the material needs need to be, excuse me for using the word need, to be fulfilled. Or in order to be, so that one is steady in devotional service. So therefore, one has to be able to identify what one's needs are and not artificially try to jump to a higher platform, or else you won't be able to remain on that higher platform. So in other words, it's not hate or negation of these things. As we'll see with King Chichiketu later on, he just goes on Sankirtan. It's not that he has a negative attitude towards women after that. In fact, he goes on Sankirtan with a bunch of ladies in an airplane. So, to preach Krishna consciousness. So that's how we should be thinking, not wasting any time. And so as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we gradually lose interest. That's mature renunciation. lose interest in the things of this world. Just like you see, I'm going to give the example of Srila Prabhupada, who basically lost interest in his business. I mean, in one sense, you can say everything was taken away from Prabhupada because, as Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Yashaham Anugrinami Harishe Dandanamshanai, when I especially favor people, I take things away. That's one sense. But on another level, Prabhupada just got disinterested in his business because it wasn't working for Krishna consciousness. He got disinterested in his family, not because of any negative attitude towards his family, but because his family was adverse to his Krishna consciousness. His wife would basically drive away whatever guest he was bringing to the house in different ways. I mean, she would take a feather duster, and that's how the dust, they didn't have vacuum cleaners in those days. And she would take a feather duster and just like blow the dust in Prabhupada's guests' faces. And you know, you're not going to stick around a lot, you know, if you go to someone's house and you get the dust blown in your face, isn't it? I'm not going to go to someone's house. Usually you go to someone's house and you get nice prasadam, but she didn't serve at all. She just went upstairs. That was, at best, she went upstairs with the kids and just remained in the room, right? At worst, she drove the guests away. And then she also sold Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, you know, tea biscuits, typical story that has been told many times. So Prabhupada just became disinterested. It's called nirapeksha in what was happening. And that's why the business failed. Because basically because of Prabhupada's disinterest. Because if your mind, as Vaisheshika says, where attention goes, energy flows. You've heard that saying from him before? Where attention goes, energy flows. That's an interesting thing, because if you put attention to something, then you're more likely to be successful in that thing. But if you just like put it to the side, you know, I was thinking like the new temple we're trying to build. If I put more attention to it, then probably, you know, there'd be more money coming. But also I had that injunction we brought out last night. One shouldn't be enthusiastic about constructing costly temples. So we put a moderation of attention. But if I put my full attention to my whole life is dedicated to it, then certainly things would happen. So, I mean, by Krishna, if Krishna desired, you know, there's that fifth factor of action, which is the super soul, according to Krishna in the Gita. So, yeah, where attention goes, energy. So Prabhupada just didn't put attention. Even people came to his pharmacy, and he just preached to them. You know, instead of telling him you're going to need this medicine, that medicine, you know, Day's liniment, you know, he was very expert in pharmaceutical concoctions, and actually helped the devotees later on by giving them prescriptions for different things. But he just wasn't attentive, and therefore energy didn't flow there, as Vaisheshika would say, and therefore everything was successful. So it was a failure. So anyway, that's how renunciation occurs with a devotee. You're just not interested in those things. I mean, I can give you some like personal examples. My mother, she invites me to go different places or whatever. She said, "You should come to Baltimore." One of our devotees from Baltimore. You come to Baltimore because there's a relative who's a judge, a big judge, very famous. And she said, You should come and talk to him. But I think it's a waste of time. And then yesterday I got an invitation to go to Barbados. We'll pay your ticket. We'll pay your hotel stay here. And I was thinking, it's a waste of time. Unless I'm going to open up a temple there. Yeah, that's what I wrote them back. I said, you got to facilitate me opening the temple if you're going to pay for me to come. I mean, these were devotees on vacation. So I said, you got to facilitate for me to open the temple. You got to work with me and go out and harinam with me if you're going to do that. So that's actually Krishna consciousness. That you see things are just like not connected with Krishna. They're a waste of time, just a waste of time. And human life is very short. You know, with every rising and setting of the sun, a day is lost. And you can't, like Prabhupada would often talk about this, you can't buy back even a second that's lost. And you see, Prabhupada in his personal life is very attentive, not even talking about renunciation, but very attentive to utilizing every moment in Krishna's service. That's why sometimes I stress to devotees they should have watches. Because nowadays, most devotees say, well, I just have my mobile phone. And they probably look at their mobile phone more than they look in Srila Prabhupada's books. Me too. But anyways, or at least they have Prabhupada's books on their mobile phone. So, but Prabhupada was just like, you could set your watch by Prabhupada. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was extreme punctual. You read about these Vaishnavas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You read his schedule every day, you know, to the half hour. And that's when watches were just invented, too. I mean, it's not like nowadays you go on internet and there's like thousands of different watches. You go through New York and someone sells you a Rolex for $5. You know, who knows? Breaks after 10 minutes. So, but he was so punctual. You just read about these Vaishnavas and see how they... Using time in Krishna service. So that's what renunciation is in Krishna consciousness, to use time properly. And, of course, you do have cases of extreme, in the Shastra, extreme renunciation, or extreme, like, don't waste any time. I was thinking of the Bible, where you have Jesus Christ in Luke 9:60 says, let the dead bury the dead. You know, someone just wants to go back and said, I'll join your movement, Jesus. You know, I'm going to go on Sankirtan with you. Just let me arrange for the funeral. I think it was his father or something like that. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. And we don't want to be so extreme like that because, you know, if we are, people won't appreciate our Krishna consciousness movement. You know, if I said that recently, my mother's husband passed away and she said, she's got to come to the funeral. If I said, let the dead bury the dead, then it wouldn't be so productive for my relationship with her. So, but in other words, you keep these things to a minimum. Keep these things to a minimum. What's required, you know, for preaching, you see everything in the light of expanding Krishna consciousness and what's good for Krishna. And that way, that's Yukta Vairagya. Anyway, so... Since Mother Krishna Kriya gave me a copy of this, of Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan, I think we can end by reading some parts of it. But it went into, I need your passcode. Well, that's good. Don't tell that to anyone else. It's on the internet. So, I'm sitting alone. That's a typical devotee one. I could guess that anyway. I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I'm getting many realizations. I have wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. I have no money. So they are fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me this naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. Yashaham anagrinami harishe tadanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the all-merciful? So this is very similar to Chitraketu's situation. Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless, wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery. And then Prabhupada says, but it gives me a good laugh. I sit alone and laugh. It's like, wow, what did I do with life? You know. But of course, this is a pastime. Prabhupada's a pure devotee. In this Maya Samsara, whom do I really love? Where are my loving father and mother gone now? And where are all my elders who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. So, anyway, those are two of the shlokas. There's a lot more, and I don't have time to read any more, and they're not here anyway. So, any questions or comments? We got about 3 minutes left for class. Yeah. Because one loves Krishna so much. So the bhava is an emotion. Not wasting time is a manifestation of bhava. It's not a bhava.
Right.
It's a byproduct of, you know, loving. Just like, let's say a mother has a baby. Because mothers usually have babies. That's why they call it mothers. And babies usually have mothers. So her whole attention is focused. So when she goes... to Walmart, what is she thinking of? Is she thinking of buying an iPad? I don't think so. She's going to the baby section, you know, the little perambulators. Because you don't use that word anymore, strollers.
Only in the UK.
Only in the UK, and Prabhupada used that word. That's why it's coming out from my mouth. And she's looking there, well, my baby like this, with like, isn't that cute? That little shirt with the heart on it. You ever see people do that? Because there's love there. Of course, you know, after about 5 years, she's not doing that anymore. But everything she sees reminds her, or she wants to engage in the baby's service. It's quite interesting. And the phenomena of that new love, when it's, you know, the new love. Of course, in the spiritual realm, that new love is always there. It doesn't manifest and then just like take a nosedive at a certain point. It's always there. So it's always that intense thing. You know, whatever I see has to be used in Krishna's service. I don't waste any time. My baby, you know, not my baby, but Krishna. Krishna made. Yeah, like Mother Yashoda. Yeah, that's your baby. I mean, if your Mother Yashoda, I mean, she's not. She doesn't want to do anything other than serve Krishna because it's so much in love. So the love, that's the bhava. It's a manifestation of bhava. It's just an extreme absorption. It's actually an anubhava. It's interesting. I was hearing about the different bhavas, the sattvic bhavas, and then the vyabhachari bhavas. How different bhavas manifest by coming in contact with different aspects of the material world. Like when the, see if I can remember this exactly. When you come in contact with the water element, then tears manifest. And when you come in touch with the earth element, then you become stunned. And you, when you come in contact with the fire element, then you get hair stand on end. Your hair stand on end and the body shakes. So it's so interesting, these bhavas. The description given in the Jiva Dharma of the bhavas, isn't it? The different elements manifest it. When the consciousness, the chit, comes in contact with the different, even material elements, different bhavas manifest externally. So anyway, when you're having so much fun exhibiting or feeling bhavas, you don't want to waste any time. It's like if you're, you know, another example I can give is when one's playing a video game that they're really absorbed in and having, not really having fun, but, you know, just so-called whatever. And they don't even waste time to eat or sleep. And sometimes they die. They actually die playing video games. Radhakalokananda ki jai.